So have you looked at the calendar recently? Only 99 days till Christmas. Only 99 days till Christmas. I don't know about you, but Christmas gets me thinking about gifts. Gifts like a 10-inch heavy-duty portable table saw with a 25-inch rip capacity and a gravity rise wheeled stand, bought on sale, of course. I don't know about you, but Christmas gets me thinking about all those material things I want, all of those material things I would like to buy, or better yet, receive as a gift. And so I need constantly to remind myself that life's greatest gifts can't be bought. I mean, the fancy new car quickly loses luster. The new outfit soon starts feeling rather drab. But reading a story with a child or a grandchild, reconnecting with an old friend, watching the sunset with a loved one. Well, what does MasterCard say? These gifts are priceless. Today's New Testament passage takes us to the day of Pentecost. Now, on that day, Pentecost, God's Spirit blew through a room where Jesus' disciples had been meeting. They started praising God, declaring God's wonders, except that they were doing this in all sorts of different languages, languages that they didn't know. When visitors to Jerusalem heard the commotion, they were amazed and astonished, for those visitors saw that they were locals, Galileans, locals who suddenly knew their languages. All of their questioning provided a good opportunity for some preaching. And so Peter stepped into the pulpit and started explaining. He told them that they were watching history happen. That the Jesus whom they had crucified had risen and had received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and had poured out what they were now observing. Now we enter this Pentecost story at the end of Peter's sermon. After listening closely to that message, the people start asking, how do we respond? I mean, it touches their heart. So how do we respond? Well, Peter lays it out plainly. He tells them to repent, to turn their lives into God's direction. And Peter calls them to be baptized, baptized in Jesus' name. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that? Peter's call, God's call, comes with promises, forgiveness, the Holy Spirit. Now, forgiveness might not have been something those listeners were thinking about when they woke up earlier that morning. But in his sermon, Peter lets them know that Jesus' blood was on their hands, that they had rejected God's Messiah. You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter wasn't speaking at the Roman garrison, so it's obvious that he's speaking figuratively. His listeners may not have driven in the nails that pierced Jesus' hands and feet, but they had indeed crucified Christ. They had spent their lives ignoring God's purposes, and then when God sent his very own Son, they rejected him just the same. 2,000 years later, we hear that same accusation, and we share that same guilt. I mean, refusing God's plans, rejecting God's own Son, well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, we feign poverty when someone takes up a collection for people who are hungry. We let the phone go to voicemail instead of making peace with a desperate family member. When God whispers in our ear, we turn away and turn on the TV instead of paying attention. Peter says we share responsibility for Jesus' brutal death. But Peter also says that God is offering amnesty. Amnesty for our sins. He says that when we turn to God, our sins are forgiven. That this promise is for us and for our children. Even those who live as far away as Kamloops. Forgiveness. A slate wiped clean. A debt that is paid. Freedom from the guilt of past mistakes. Not something you can find for sale on the streets in Kamloops. But it is a gift that is offered to us in Jesus. Of course, being released from our past is only part of the gift. We are also brought into a right relationship with God. We are promised the Holy Spirit. Now, in the past, the Holy Spirit was the exotic possession of a chosen few. Back then, people depended on others to teach them or guide them, even pray for them. Their faith was, well, sort of second hand. But Peter declares that in these last days, God's Spirit is being poured out on all people. When Jesus was exalted to the Father, he sent that Spirit to be God with us. This Spirit is another counselor to be with us forever, to renew us, to help us, to guide us, to direct us into all truth. With that Spirit, God's life becomes our life. And God's purposes, well, they start becoming our purposes. And so, where we once would have easily overlooked any petition for aid, God's Spirit is there reminding us of all our material blessings. Where we once would have snubbed those who crossed us, walk in the other direction, well, we meet them. We show them grace. Where we once depended solely on the faith of others, or maybe only knew things about God, now we know God. We experience God's active hand in our lives, encouraging us, directing us, correcting us. Peter calls out, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Turning to Christ, being baptized, offers incredible promise, forgiveness, God's Spirit. But it would be untrue to say that you only receive these gifts when you get wet. When Peter preaches at Cornelius' home, the Spirit falls on those present even before he gets to the last point of his sermon. I mean, let alone start sprinkling or dipping anyone in water. And yet, it's through baptism that these gifts are clearly seen. It's in baptism that they are best welcomed and celebrated. That's why Peter calls the people to be baptized. That's why Jesus sent out his disciples to do the same. That's why we baptize in the church. Just think of what you saw this morning. Water poured out into a font, splashed over Abel's head. Water, a universal symbol of life and refreshment. You can go without food for 30 days, but how long can you go without water? Three days? The water that is splashed over Abel is a sign of God's renewing Spirit, now poured out on all people. God with him, God with us. But the act of pouring water is also a sign of cleansing. What did you do before you came to church this morning? Well, most of you probably had a shower. What do we do before we sit down at the table for supper? Well, we wash off the grime of the day with water. With water. The water running off of Abel's head gives us a picture of that cleansing. The cleansing that God offers us in Jesus Christ. This is a token external washing, yes, but it's a sign of the internal washing. The internal washing that God accomplishes in our hearts. So, only 99 days till Christmas. You may find yourself thinking of gifts that you want to receive or gifts that you would like to pick up for others. Well, maybe take a few moments considering the gifts that God offers us today in Jesus. Amnesty for sins, for mistakes, God's renewing presence, not just around us, but in us. When Peter spoke about these gifts, 3,000 came forward to receive them. Is there any reason why you shouldn't also be baptized? The promise, Peter reminds us, is for you and for your children. For all those who are far off, even those here in Kamloops, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Well, thanks be to God. Amen.